And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. Coming to you on powerofprophecy.com, streaming audio 24/7, and also from Worldwide Christian Radio, broadcast out of Nashville around the world. Well, today we're going to be discussing a topic that could make a few of you very hot behind the collar. Others, it might please you. It all depends. But one thing that I've never really been accused of here at Power of Prophecy is mincing words. Mincing words. I've been accused of a lot of things. And sometimes they turned out to be true. And other times they were just falsehoods. But one thing is for sure. I've never been accused of ducking in a hole or hiding behind a bush about the truth. And today is not going to be any exception, and that's why people always get mad. You know, I had a couple of good friends that found out the truth about 9/11, what really happened, that it was, yes, it was an inside job. And they invited some friends over, and they had a video to show them. It's one of the videos, in fact, we offer. It's called A Loose Change, The Final Cut. And they invited some friends over to their house, some long-established friends to their house, to watch the video. They thought their friends would rejoice in seeing the truth about 9/11. Boy, were they ever shocked. A couple of their friends said, oh, no, I've heard about that video. I don't want to see it. It would make too much trouble for my mind. I just can't handle negativity. Yeah, I don't want to see anything negative. Another friend, or a couple, actually told them, well, I'm afraid to come over to your house to watch a video like that. Wouldn't that get my phone wiretapped? Maybe the federal government would start watching me, Big brother, I'm just too scared to get involved. And then they had a couple over and said, would you like to watch the video? And they said, well, yeah. And after they were watching it for a little while, they said, oh, turn it off. We just can't take all that pressure, that's so tense. It makes us nervous. That's the way most people are. They don't want to know the truth. And we've gone through about 30 years at least, of being taught that we're to think positive, speak positive, make positive confessions, only say affirmative things, only say good things. Don't ever talk about bad things. Oh, no. We've been taught that kids cannot compete because it hurts their feelings when they lose. Isn't that true, friends? I Juan and I have some friends recently, and they were sort of jubilant that their daughter became a cheerleader. She'd been looking forward since she was about 8 years old, to becoming a cheerleader as soon as she got to middle school. Well, she got to middle school and they said, guess what? She's going to be a cheerleader. She's been picked. Well, I thought that was a real distinction. I said, that's really something. And I said, how many kids went out for it? And they said, about 20. I said, so how many cheerleaders do they have that school? She said, oh, well, everybody that goes out gets to be a cheerleader. I said, well, back when I was in school, we only had like 6 cheerleaders for a school of 1,000 students. Oh, well, that hurts their feelings so much, when they're not picked. Well, I thought a little fun of it because, friends, I'm not knocking people of any size, but I noticed that their daughter was quite chubby. In fact, to be very honest with you, she made Roseanne Barr look thin. And yet she was going to be a cheerleader. Usually the cheerleaders are the most attractive girls. I'm not trying to say that's good or anything. I'm just trying to say that their daughter really didn't wasn't able physically to do the cheers. But it didn't matter. Everybody gets to be a cheerleader. You know, when I was a young man, I boxed in the Golden Gloves. You know, that's boxing, you know, Golden Gloves. And I won a couple of trophies. I was very proud of them. A couple of trophies at the Golden Gloves. You visit a family now and there's kids there. And you go in their room and they may not be athletic. They have a whole wall full of trophies. I got this one for playing soccer. I got this one for bowling. I got this one for that. I got this one for that. Well, did your team win? Oh, everybody got a trophy that played. Really? Friends, I played football in high school and they said only if you play so many, you know, quarters on the A team do you get a jacket. That's right. They wouldn't give us a jacket. Now they not only get everything, I mean, there's no competition. We don't want to hurt people's feelings. Everything must be positive. And so you lie to people. Everybody gets good grades. Everybody wins. Everybody thinks they're number one. Well, they're not, but it doesn't matter. Friends, isn't it really time for truth? There's some of us that can't speak too good. And you can't win the public speaking contest. There's some that, well, they're just overweight or underweight. You mean a 140-pound guy may be a nice size, but he can't throw the shot put at a track meet. Might take a 200-pound guy to do that. But a 200-pound guy may not be able to run the 100-yard dash. He's too big and ponderous to do it. And you can't give them both a trophy for throwing the shot put and both a trophy for winning the 100-yard dash. It doesn't work out. And this is true in all of life. Some people are smarter than others. Some people are just plain dumb. Praise God, they can get a job at all and make a living in this society. And if they get a job and do it well, I hope they're rewarded. And you know, the thing about it is, God doesn't care what you look like, how big you are, how small you are, what color you are, what your intelligence is. I know a lot of people with very low IQ, but they're a lot wiser in terms of God's knowledge and wisdom. I have actually sought out a lot of men who you may not really appreciate. They may have grease under their fingers working in a garage. I'd rather that man sit down and listen to my problems or perhaps get on his knees and pray with me than some guy with a PhD. They're a lot more wise in the things of God. They've been gifted by God. You know, even the Apostle Paul in the Bible tells us to pray for gifts. Pray for gifts. Obviously, you don't have the gift and you want it and you desire it and you pray that God will give it to you. I knew a pastor once and he asked me to pray with him. And as we were praying, he asked for God to give him, now listen to this, a gift of mercy. Well, after we were finished praying, I said, Brother Charles, what exactly did you pray for that for? I'm just curious. You wanted a gift of mercy. I've always thought you as a merciful, nice fellow that cares. He said, well, I'll tell you, Brother Tex, I visit a lot of people from my congregation in the hospital. And I found after so long of visiting people, I just sort of got jaded seeing so many people sick and all. It just became like second nature for me to go and be with them and say nice words of encouragement. But it was almost like I was acting. There's so many. And I said to myself, God, this is not right. I want to feel the pain of people. I want to feel the hurt. I want to feel, you know, I want to feel what they feel. I want to feel for them. I want to pray for them and mean it. I want to be more merciful to the sick. You know, I admired that man a lot more after that. I did. I admired him a lot more. He realized he was not merciful and caring enough. And he asked for it. I have a feeling that God gave it to him. In fact, I saw it later in his behavior and his concern for people in the hospital and people that had lost loved ones. He prayed for more mercy. Oh, there's a lot of gifts God will give you. And you know, that gift of mercy might be a more important gift than a gift of intelligence, of being smart. I'd much rather have a friend who's merciful than one who was intelligent, wouldn't you? When the chips are down, which would you like to call on? Well, in any case, I want to talk today about politics. That's why I said you'd probably get mad at me. At least a few will. I'm going to tell you about John McCain today. John McCain running for president on the Republican ticket. And without further ado, I'm going to tell you about McCain and tell you my opinion of him based on the facts. I believe this is based on the facts. I want you to understand something. We're not Republicans and we're not Democrats. I've never professed to be a Republican or a Democrat. I've never voted for somebody because they were Republican or Democrat. I've never endorsed somebody because they were Republican or Democrat. And I don't really care what you are, dear friend, whether you're a Republican or a Democrat. But just so you'll know, I'm not either one. I've never identified with either one. And I don't care about either one. In fact, I think both of them are a bunch of baloney. I think both, it would be better off if we didn't have any political parties at all. But we do. And there's a lot of people will vote for McCain, and maybe you're one of them, because after all, he's all we got. He's the Republican candidate. All I say, as they would say in East Texas, hogwash. I'm not going to vote for anybody because he's anything other than the best candidate. And as far as I'm concerned, I don't see a best candidate here, Democrat or Republican. Now, in the interest of being fair, although I don't really believe in being fair sometime, I just believe in being truthful. If it comes out to what people think is fair, that's fine. If it doesn't, that's just too bad. But in the interest, perhaps, of being fair, I must tell you, in coming weeks, I'm going to be talking about the Democratic Party's nominee. Just so you'll understand that, as I've always said here, there's not a dime's worth of difference between the two political parties, and usually between the two candidates. And I can go back in history. Now, by the way, the Bible says there are some men who announce themselves before, and some you find out about later. I'm paraphrasing the Bible. Some people, they announce themselves before, but others you find out about later. Let's just take old Ronald Reagan. Let's just take Richard Nixon. Let's take Senior Bush, George Herbert Walker Bush, Senior. They were Republicans. Now, one of the things that seems to matter to most Christians, and it matters to me, is a person for abortion or against abortion? Because abortion is murder. And you know, it means a lot to me if a man is for life. It does. I've always said I'll never vote for a man who is anti-life. In other words, so-called pro-choice or pro-abortion. Never, never, never. I've kept that word up to now. I've never voted for a person who is pro-abortion. I said I never would. Of course, on the other hand, if the person happens to be a warmonger and he's for the engaging in wars at which more people will be killed than are being aborted, then I might have to consider. If you're voting for the lesser of two evils, it might be better to vote for the pro-abortion guy than the warmonger guy. Either way, you're going to have a lot of people dead. And the Bible says, thou shalt not kill. And a warmonger, of course, is somebody who wants to fight unnecessary wars. I'm not against fighting a war. Abraham took a band of men and went out and fought a conflict. Joshua took a bunch of warriors and won a war. I'm not against that at all. I'm not against fighting. Somebody wants to break in my house at night, if they think they're going to meet a man of peace, they're wrong. They're going to meet a warrior. When they break into my home intending to kill me or hurt my wife or me or my grandkids or kids that might be visiting, they're in trouble. I'll get anything I can. I'll take a knife. I'll take a stone. I'll take a brick. I'll take a piece of furniture. I'll take a gun, whatever I can to defend my home. I'm no pacifist, but I'm not a warmonger. I don't go driving out in the neighborhood looking for somebody to hit over the head just because I feel violent that day or I think it might put more money in my pocketbook. I don't do that. But if they attack me, if they give me a pretext because they attack me, I'm going to defend myself. I'm going to defend my loved ones. I'm going to defend America. I don't have any problem with going and fighting and dying for America. If I am fighting indeed for America. But I'm not going to go fight some worthless war. I must tell you, I was a U.S. Air Force officer and I fought one worthless war. In Vietnam. A worthless war. I want to say that again. A lot of people say, oh, now Tex, you're one of those anti-war people. When they were marching in the streets against the war, I was in military uniform over there. So don't tell me. But when I was over there, I was not stupid. I came to the realization, unfortunately, that it was a worthless, futile, winless war that the American government did not want to win, but did not also mind people being killed, young American men. When I see the Vietnam War Memorial, that great, shiny, black piece of junk in Washington, D.C., and you say, junk? That's right, it is junk. Not the men who died, many of them innocent, sincere, patriotic. And I want to add this to this, my friends, many of them died over there. I spent 2 years in Southeast Asia. I earned the Vietnam Service Medal. I have a right to speak out. They died for nothing. Did they die for our country? They thought so, many of them, but they didn't. I fought for our country, I thought, but I didn't. I remember reading a book by Major General Smedley Butler. He was before my time. He was the general in charge of the Marine Corps. But after he left office, he said, you know, I finally realized something after all those years, 40 or 50 years he was in uniform. He said, you know what? War is a racket. That's the name of his book. I might even start offering that book here on Power of Prophecy. War is a racket. He said, you know, in all the wars I fought in, I never once fought for a good cause. I always fought for corporations. He said, I went down to Central America and fought so that the American Fruit Company could have bananas. So we had to win Honduras and all those places. Friends, that's why most wars are fought, for things, for material goods, for money, for oil, for selfish reasons. Even James in the Bible said, that's why you fight among you. That's why you have wars. The lust of the flesh. But I'm an American. If somebody comes and attacks my country, comes to my home, you watch out. I'm 63 years old and I'll still volunteer to go in the Air Force again. But if my country fights a worthless war like we're fighting in Iraq and Afghanistan, and a warmonger says it's a good thing, I say you are a liar. You're a warmonger, and you're defying God because God said, blessed are the peacemakers. Jimmy Carter's over in the Middle East now. He wants to talk to the Hamas. He wants to talk to the Palestinians. They don't want him to. They want the war to continue. Now listen, some things I don't like about Jimmy Carter. For one thing, he's not pro-life. But don't tell me the man has bad intentions about stopping a war over there, about bringing peace. He has good intentions. I believe that. And I pray that Jesus Christ will give him a reward for that. I do. He says he believes in Jesus. He's a Christian. Well, as far as I'm concerned, he's not fundamentalist enough. Okay, that's fine. If Jimmy Carter were sitting here in my office, I'd tell him the same thing. Jimmy, you're too liberal on some things. He'd probably smile and say, well, that's just too bad. You and I have a difference of opinion, Tex. I'd offer to pray with him about it. But let me tell you something. That man wants peace. And to criticize him and call him unpatriotic, to call him anti-American, you're full of baloney. Jimmy Carter is a man of peace. And I believe God will reward him, not for some liberal views, not for the fact that perhaps he was, in fact, even an incompetent president, but I think there's some reasons behind that you may not know of. But the fact is, the man is sincere and wanting peace and being fair to both sides. He doesn't approve of any terrorist, but he wants to see peace. You don't like me saying that? That's the way it is. Thank God for Jimmy Carter. And that's just the way I feel about it. Now, back to McCain. I understand, because he's Republican, most of you may just back the man. You say, well, who else have we got? Obama or whatever. Hey, just because the other party running is evil don't mean you have to vote for evil. Find a third party person. I don't know, Green Party. I wouldn't vote for a Green Party guy by any means. Libertarian, Conservative Party. There are a few third parties. Vote for them. And if not, vote for Mickey Mouse. Write it in. Oh, Mickey always gets a few votes every 4 years anyway. And it seems like Mickey hadn't done any damage. He didn't seem to be a war maker. A warmonger, I mean. Or a liar. Mickey Mouse might be a better president than these people. Doing nothing could be a lot better. You know, it was Will Rogers, the philosopher, who said America's in danger every time Congress is in session. It'd be better not to do anything than to do what those yokels do. I believe that too. It'd be better not to have a president than to have the presidents we've had. But back to Reagan and George Bush Sr. and Nixon. You know, Nixon was supposedly a conservative and Republican, but he gave us some of the worst acts. Environmental Protection Act. Took away our property rights. The guy did all kind of things to please the liberals, but it didn't please them anyway. They still wanted to get rid of him. You can't please liberals. You can't please anti-God people. They'll turn around and rend you in the back, stab you in the back, no matter how much you try to appease them. Richard Nixon gave us Supreme Court justices that were liberal. Mm-hmm. Richard Nixon never fought against the Roe versus Wade type decisions. He never did. You know that. I know that. Now, Reagan came into office saying, man, I'm pro-life. I'm a Christian. Oh, yeah. Well, what did he ever do for Christians? Nothing. He gave us Sandra Day O'Connor. And what did Sandra Day O'Connor do as Supreme Court judge? She voted for abortion time after time. Sometimes the decisions were 5-4. If it hadn't have been for the stupid liberal, ungodly feminist woman that President Reagan made Supreme Court judge, Roe versus Wade would have been overthrown decades ago. Thank you, President Reagan, for keeping abortion mills going around America. You, President Reagan, and I guess you're not listening to me now, wherever you're at, hell or heaven, but Nancy, maybe you'll listen. Your husband gave us Roe versus Wade for decades more because he gave us people like Sandra Day O'Connor. And then we get to George Herbert Walker Bush. He said, I'm pro-life. And the Christians went gaga going to the polls voting for old George Herbert Walker Bush. So who did he give us? David Souter on the Supreme Court. And what did David Souter do? Vote for abortion. Well, maybe he didn't know David Souter. David was going to do that. David Souter sat on the board of a hospital up in New England that was one of the only hospitals that performed abortions. He was on the board of directors, voted for abortion. Well, maybe he won't do that when he's on the Supreme Court. Well, of course he did it. He's done it over and over again. David Souter has voted over and over again. And who put him in office? Who made it possible that abortions could continue? George Herbert Walker Bush. Some people you know beforehand what they're going to be like, what they're going to do evil. Others surprise you with their evil. Now we get to McCain. Friends, I want to tell you something. He's already forewarned us. He's already said we're going to have war, 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 war. And once he's in office, if he is, and we get into wars up to our necks, and it's costing us billions, trillions of dollars. It's bankrupting America. Don't say, I never knew he'd do that. You know. You know what he's going to do. The man is for taking away your gun rights. That's right. He is against the Second Amendment of the Constitution. So once he gets in office and they start passing all these gun control laws, don't say, I never knew he'd do that. You know he would do that. The man is a liar and a flip-flopper about gay marriage. The guy has consistently said, by the way, that he opposes gay marriage, but he doesn't want to do anything to stop it. He's for gays' right to marry, but he's against it. Huh? Wait. He's for homosexuals' right to be married, but he personally opposes it. That's like saying, I'm against bank robberies, but it's okay for people to rob banks. This is the hypocrisy. The fact is, as James Dobson of Focus on the Family, James Dobson has said, and by the way, I have the news release right in front of me. He said, I will never, never, ever vote for John McCain. Why? Well, there are many reasons. First of all, he's a fake conservative, said Dobson. And Dobson's right. And then Dobson mentioned that McCain had voted against an amendment to the Constitution that would have prohibited gay marriage. Do you understand that? He voted against a bill that would create a change to the Constitution, amendment, to prohibit gay marriage. He voted, in other words, for gay marriage. In fact, I have a speech of Mr. McCain, Senator McCain, in which he actually endorses gay marriage. Endorses gay marriage. Actually, he said, I'm for, civil unions. A rose by any other name is still a rose, dear friends. Call it marriage, you call it civil unions or whatever. I'm against marriage, but it's okay for them to have civil unions and have all the rights of married couples. Yeah, sure. What hypocrites. I want to tell you something, friends, and I'm going to prove it the rest of this program. John McCain is a vile, wicked, deceitful man. He is a warmonger. He is a sexual deviant. And make no mistake about it. If this man wins the presidency, America is finished as a nation forever. Why? Because he's a member of the Council on Foreign Relations. And he is a promoter of the plan for a North American Union. And this is the guy that promoted the so-called Immigration Reform Act that would open up our borders to tens of millions of more Mexican illegal aliens. And listen, I was watching the debate in Congress myself with my eyes and listening with my ears when Senator John Cornyn from Texas got up and said, I oppose John McCain's Immigration Reform Act. Senator Cornyn, a Republican from Texas, a good man, said, I will not go along, in other words, with flooding America with all these illegal aliens. John McCain got so mad right there in Congress, he stood up, and you know what he said? It's a four-letter word. It begins with F. It ends with K. And then he said a second word, which is U. F-U. Have you ever heard of that? John McCain, hot-headed, angry, got so mad at the senator from Texas that he said, F you! Just because John Cornyn would not go along with McCain's plans for flooding America with illegal aliens so that the North American Union could come into being. Do you understand what kind of monster this is? What kind of anti-American deviant John McCain really is? To scream out at another senator who opposed his illegal alien invasion plan, F you, this is the kind of man running for president of the United States on the Republican ticket. This is Tex Mars. You're listening to Power of Prophecy. I'll be right back with a lot more facts about John McCain, warmonger, Rothschild puppet, sexual deviant. Hello, friends. Tex Mars again. You know, I have a book here in front of me. We're offering it. We published it, in fact, and I wrote the foreword for it. It's entitled The Synagogue of Satan by Andrew Carrington Hitchcock. I want to offer this book to you today. $20 is all we are asking for the book. We do ask for $4 for shipping and handling, a total of $24 postpaid. The book is around 300 pages in length, entitled The Synagogue of Satan, The Secret History of Jewish World Domination. Now, let me tell you up front, John McCain would not approve this book. He would not endorse this book, but I do. Now, Andrew Hitchcock is an Englishman. He worked in the financial services sector in London. He also served for 4 years on the police force. He is a researcher in history, and especially of Rothschild history, of the bankers. He says in his book that world events do not happen by accident. World history is planned far in advance by a conspiratorial cabal, an invisible hand working secretly behind the scenes. And in this highly documented book, this volume, Mr. Hitchcock uncovers the wicked elite group responsible for virtually all wars, all revolutions, all financial debacles and social upheavals. That group he accurately identifies as the Synagogue of Satan. Now, why should we believe Mr. Hitchcock in this book? Why? A lot of people have fingered the Zionist Jews as the evildoers throughout history. But did they tell the truth? And does Mr. Hitchcock in this 300-page book tell the truth? The answer is yes. How do I know? Because God said so. Because God in the book of Revelation, Revelation 2 verse 9, Revelation 3 verse 9, says the group that is, will be the most evil in the last days, the group that will persecute Christian believers, the group that will even murder many of us and throw many of us into prison is none other than the synagogue of Satan. God said it, and it's good enough for me. You may believe the Muslims are the most wicked. You may think it's the New Age movement. You may imagine that it's the Council on Foreign Relations. I want to tell you, it's not those. It's not even the Catholic Church and the Jesuit Order. All those groups may or may not be evil, and I believe most of them are. But the book, the group that God identified is the synagogue of Satan. And this book explains who and what that group is. So you'll know what God is telling you. You can deny it. You can listen to the evangelical preachers, the Baptists and the Pentecostals and all the others, and they'll all tell you nice things about the Jews and about Israel. I don't care what they say. I believe in God. I believe what He said. If you want to listen to them, turn off the radio right now. Don't buy this book. After all, don't let me confuse you with what the devil says. But this is a book that tells you why God warned about the synagogue of Satan. It's the secret history of Jewish world domination. It tells you, for one thing, about the Rothschilds, the Rothschild dynasty, and their control of all the banking systems of the world up to and including the 21st century. And by the way, in just a moment, I'm going to tell you how John McCain recently met with Lord Rothschild in England and was given a big banquet by him. McCain is a puppet of Rothschild interest, but how would you know about the Rothschilds without reading it in Andrew Hitchcock's book? First, go to your Bible. Read Revelation 2 and 3 and see if I'm not telling you the truth. Don't get this book until you've read the book of Revelation. See if I'm telling you the truth. Be a good Berean. I love the story of the Bereans in the Bible. Paul said, after he had preached, the people of Berea said, well, thank you for preaching, and now we're going to go check it with the scriptures to see whether what you say is so. You know what Paul said? He could have criticized them. How dare you question my judgment? How dare you question what I say as being true? Paul didn't do that. You know what he said? The Bereans, the people of Berea, are more noble than others. They are more noble They're better of spirit than others. You know why? They went to the Bible to see if whether what I said was so. I like that. I like that. Can you imagine a preacher preaching to you and you say, well, preacher, thanks very much, but if it's true, praise God. But I'm going to find out by going to the Bible. You know, I've had some people do that to me. Well, thank you very much. And some people actually said, I don't like what you said. I don't like it. It cannot possibly be true. And I'm going to show you're a liar, Tex. I've had people do that. And they come back later and said, wow, what you said was true. What you said was so. Now I understand why you said those things. I like people like that. I like people that question me. I like people that say, prove it to me. I like that. Well, this book is proof. 300 pages of documented proof. Of course, a lot of people don't want to open it up. The title alone scares them. One man wrote to me, a very well-known person. I'm not going to mention his name. I don't want to embarrass him, but he phoned me up and he said, you know, the name of that book, The Synagogue of Satan, turns people off. Makes them think you're anti-Semitic. You shouldn't offer a book entitled The Synagogue of Satan. I said, do you have the Bible, the Holy Bible, in your home? Well, yes. Would you please take it and throw it in the trash can? He said, throw it in the trash can. I said, of course, you must. Don't you know that Holy Bible in the book of Revelation mentions the synagogue of Satan? And repeats it, in fact. You can't have a book like that in your home, can you? Throw out the Bible. While you're doing it, just throw out your life, friend. Because without the Holy Bible, what have you got? It's the testimony of Jesus Christ. It's the testimony of the works of God. It's the testimony that the devil's victory is short-lived. He's a finished character. I'm not going to throw out the Bible. You can. And I wasn't really intending to tell the man to throw out the Bible. But if he wants to strip some things from the Bible, it would be better that he throw it out. Because the Bible actually says in the book of Revelation that if you take out one little word, one word you try to add or subtract from the Bible, God will send in your life all the plagues that are mentioned in the book of Revelation. That's the penalty for trying to remove even one word. Well, this whole book talks about the synagogue of Satan, and I'm not going to take the synagogue of Satan mention out of the Bible. And if you want to know what that means, then come to this book. This book, of course, is not gospel. It's possible there could be an error or two in it. I haven't found any. It's not holy writ. But it does help you to understand about the synagogue of Satan. Again, $24 postpaid for the book, The Synagogue of Satan, The Secret History of Jewish World Domination. Get the book by phoning us toll free, 1-800-234-9673. 1-800-234-9673. The book, The Synagogue of Satan, is available on the homepage of our website, powerofprophecy.com. Powerofprophecy.com. And now let's return to our regular program. We're talking about John McCain, Rothschild puppet, Zionist warmonger, and conservative chameleon. You know, chameleon changes colors. It looks like one thing, but then it turns colors and becomes another. When it's in the grass, it turns green. It looks like the grass. When it's on a tree, it turns brown like the bark of the tree. So you think it's part of the tree. It's a defensive device that's used. A natural way of acting. Well, there's a scriptural way of acting. And that means you're the same color all the time. And I'm talking about a spiritual color. I'm not talking about of skin. And you know, a Christian just can't change. They've got to be one way or the other. Even the Bible says don't be lukewarm. If you're lukewarm, God will spit you out of his mouth. It's better to be cold or hot. Because if you're lukewarm, God hates that. I'm telling you right now, a prostitute and a drunkard is going to be better off on the day of judgment than a man who claims to be a Christian and lies about it and pretends and every once in a while does good things. man wrote me recently about a preacher, a well-known televangelist. The guy's done all kind of wicked things, but he's done some good things. He's done some good things. I mean, the devil comes as an angel of light, you know. A man wrote to me and castigated me and said, Tex Mars, look at all the good things this televangelist has done. Are you opposed to those? Well, of course not. But isn't that the way the devil works? Am I supposed to give a man praise and commendation because every once in a while he does something good? I mean, even a broken clock is correct twice a day. But I'm not happy with having a broken clock. Are you? You can't tell the time. It's not accurate. You know, most of the time. And it could kill you. You could die. Well, John McCain, let's talk about it a little bit. You know, the book of Daniel tells about an evil person who will rise up in the last days and says he will be a raiser of taxes. Well, John McCain voted against tax reductions while he was in the Senate. Voted against. He voted for more taxes and against tax reductions. Raiser of taxes. Do you realize, dear friends, that we have already spent over $1.5 trillion on the worthless Iraqi war? Now, I want to propose to you something. I got out my old calculator and did a little bit of math and went to the American Almanac and did some studying, and I found something interesting. Listen to me. You will not believe what I found. But we could take every person who is on Social Security, every person on Social Security, and we could triple the amount of Social Security payments they get for the next 10 years. And it would just about equal the amount that we have spent on the Iraqi war. Do you understand what I'm telling you? A person out there might be trying to live on $600, $800, $700, even $500 a month. And that's all he gets or all she gets, Social Security. An elderly person. I do believe it's true. Some elderly people are probably out there living, can't even afford to heat or to cool their home, and they're eating dog food because they can't afford real food because the price of food right now, the price of groceries is skyrocketing. Now, John McCain, when he was in the Senate, voted to require people to live longer before they could get Social Security. For example, me. I'm 63 years of age. I have to be, I think it's 67 before I can get full Social Security benefits. 67. You say, well, no, Tex, when you're 65. No. They've raised it now. If you were born certain year groups, they're making you wait longer. Okay? And John McCain voted for that, to reduce Social Security benefits. John McCain recently, I heard him on a speech where he said, we're paying too much for Social Security. We're going to have to do something about it. Future generations, you know, are going to have to, you know, cut back. We're not going to be able to give them these, you know, as if you're getting such lucrative benefits on Social Security. I want to say it again. We could literally, a person getting $500 could get $1,500 a month from Social Security for the next 10 years. Everybody on Social Security could have their Social Security payments tripled. And it would only cost the amount of money we have already spent in the Iraq war. $1.5 trillion. We're spending $3.5 million a week right now on the Iraq war. Billion. $1 billion a week. $3.5 billion. Do you know how many schools that could build? I figured it out. We had a new high school built here in this area of Austin not too long ago. We could build 500 new high schools in America every week for the amount that we're spending on the Iraq war. A worthless war. A war to bring those people democracy? Huh? Are you kidding me? They don't want to be democratic. They're not going to be democratic. They're Muslims. They're not going to be democratic. I want to repeat it. They're going to have a dictator over there. And we know it. And Bush and them and the boys and McCain are happy as long as it's our dictator. Yeah, that's all. We just want to make sure it's our dictator. It can be another Saddam Hussein, but he's got to kiss our feet, and then it's okay. Friends, don't fool yourself. We're not fighting a war for democracy. We're fighting a war for oil and Israel. Israeli superpower and oil, and that's why we're there. War is a racket. Come on. John McCain is a warmonger. I want you to listen to what this guy says. I have gone and clipped together, got a clip, actually, of John McCain speaking at 9 or 10 different places. Everywhere he goes, he was telling people exactly what he's going to do and that the war has to keep going on and on and on and maybe last forever. This guy's a warmonger. And I want you to listen to this, okay? Listen to, this is the voice of John McCain, the voice of John McCain, and listen to what he says, okay? Ask yourself, is this man a warmonger or not? Here he is.
I want to address this very quickly. How long are we going to be in Iraq? But it's a long, hard struggle. I've got to tell you that we're going to be in this struggle for the rest of this century. And I'm sorry to tell you that we're going to be in further wars.
And we were in 2 wars today combating it, and there are other places in the world where we may have to. My friends, I know how to handle the Iranians, and I'll handle them.
These young people that are in this crowd, my friends, I'm going to be asking you to serve. This is a long, hard, tough war.
The consequences of failure in Iraq are catastrophic.
And it's going to be very expensive, and it's going to be long and hard and difficult.
Bush has talked about our staying in Iraq for 50 years.
Maybe 100. It's fine with me. I hope it will be fine with you. Now, my friends, I've got to give you some straight talk.
There's going to be more wars. There's going to be more wars.
We're in a greater struggle that is going to be with us for the rest of this century.
Okay, folks? This century, what year is it now? 2008? Well, this war is going to be with us throughout this century. It is non-ending. It is non-stop war, war, war. Here's a press release. So it's not just the Iraq war. This is why a guy wants to fight Iran. When he was asked at a press at a meeting, what about Iran? He said he's for bombing them. And he even used the old Beach Boys song, Barbara Ann. You know, bar, 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 and he actually sang it. Bomb, 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 Iran. This guy's a nut. He's a wacko. Here's a story for you, February 13, 2008. From Serbiana.com. John McCain armed Kosovo Islamic terrorist. Guess what? There's a group of terrorists in the Yugoslavia area, Kosovo, and there's been great a bloodshed and heartbreak in that area of the world. And the Albanian Islamic terrorists are very happy about John McCain. I want to read this to you. This is the words of an Albanian from Albania. Now, the little country of Albania, right next to Kosovo, an Albanian Muslim. He is also a lobbyist in Washington, D.C. His name is Joe Diogardi. Joe Diogardi. Here's what he said about John McCain. Quote, John McCain did everything we asked of him, including arming the KLA. Now, the KLA, friends, is the Islamic terrorist in Kosovo who for over a decade now have been massacring and killing Christians in Serbia, in former Yugoslavia, in Kosovo. It says here, the Albanians collected $1 million for the presidential campaign of this senator to thank him for arming the Islamic side. There's a war going on over in Serbia between Muslims who are killing Christians. And McCain armed the Kosovo Islamic terrorists. Now, let me go on. It says, Americans of Albanian heritage collected $1 million in one evening for the presidential campaign of Republican Senator John McCain. The lobby group, headed by former Congressman Joe Diogardi, said that John McCain did everything we ask of him to the benefit of our people, including arming the KLA, the Kosovo Liberation Army. We need a leader like John McCain who will support the Kosovo Liberation Army. Well, isn't that just nice? Meanwhile, John McCain has settled on San Antonio's pastor John Hagee, who wants to see the nuclear bombing of the nation of Iran and thinks God wants him to do it. And meanwhile, John McCain goes over to Israel just last month and told the Jews over there that he's for doing whatever is necessary, putting down the Palestinians, putting down the Lebanese, going into Iran, going into Syria, war, war, war. It never stops. But I understand. Here's a newsletter from WorldNet Daily, a very reputable source, posted February 26, 2008, worldnetdaily.com. McCain fortune, yes, he's a rich man, traced to organized crime. The mob figures who have given McCain so much money, it says, were the same people who were later implicated in the Arizona savings and loan scandal. Remember the big savings and loan scandal? And remember they chose five senators and said these are the most corrupt senators in all of Washington, D.C.? And they're the ones who made the bilking of Americans out of billions of dollars and the bankruptcy and the closing down of every savings and loan throughout the American Republic back in the 1970s. They named five people. They called them the Keating Five because it was a Mr. Keating of an Arizona savings and loan who had given all these people big bucks for their support, their corruption. They named five senators who were the most corrupt in Congress. Guess what one of them's name was? John McCain. Well, at least he's a family values man. That's why he divorced his wife and ran off with a gal he was having an affair named Cindy. But you know, I might have done the same thing if I was John McCain. If I was John McCain, a wicked, reprobate, debauched man, I would have done the same thing. After all, my wife at the time had no money, just a frumpy old gal, and here was a good-looking blonde. And besides that, Cindy, the gal he married, Cindy Hensley, her father was a reputed mob figure who had one of the biggest beer and alcohol distributorships in the United States and was a multimillionaire. You better believe old McCain divorced his wife in a flash, married Miss Pretty Cindy Hensley, and suddenly he's the heir too to this big beer and alcohol distributorship. But that's not enough. Once you got rid of your poor wife and married a rich woman, if you've diddled on her, you're going to diddle again. And the guy's a diddler, if you know what I mean. And that's why I have this other news release. You saw it it was in the New York Times and everywhere else. It was sort of covered up very quickly about the affair between Mr. McCain, 71 years old, and a lobbyist, Vicky Eisman, a Jew. Good-looking Jew, blonde, 40 years old. It got so bad that his own chief of his office had to meet privately with Ms. Eisman, said, please stay out of the limelight. Senator McCain wants to be president. And every time we turn around, you know, you're there with him, going on airplanes with him, doing things with him. Would you please stay out of his life for just a little while till the campaign's over? Hey! Move over, Bill Clinton and Monica Lewinsky. We've got John McCain and a woman over 30 years younger named Vicky Eisman. By the way, the last name is, if you doubt what I'm saying, Eisman. Vicky Eisman, Eisman. Just go to Google and Google it up on this or in another search engine. Type in Vicky Eisman, lobbyist John McCain. Find out all about it. He cheats on his wife, divorces her, abandons her so he can have some rich beer distributor heiress, marries her, but that's not enough. And he starts diddling around with this Jewish lobbyist. And what favors did she get? Plenty. You bet. All the lobbyists get favors. Take George Soros, the pro-communist capitalist. That may sound like a paradox, and it is, but that's the way it is today. George Soros, the Hungarian Jew, he's given tens of millions of dollars to the Clintons, to Obama, but wait, he's also given millions to, yes, John McCain. In fact, they set up a dummy lobbyist organization called the Reform Foundation. Now, while McCain was saying, I never take money from lobbyists, I tell you, I'm true blue. I'm a straight talker. I have the Straight Talk Express go on this bus. Oh, man, shut up. George Soros, if you don't believe me, Google it up. Look it up. Do your research. Type in on the research, on the search engine on your computer, George Soros, S-O-R-O-S, Reform Lobbying Group, John McCain. You'll find out that he gave millions to McCain. The biggest lobbyist supporter of the Democrats also supported McCain. By the way, John Kerry seriously considered John McCain to be his vice presidential running mate. They even had talks about it. He liked McCain because he was just like him, a liberal. John McCain, before this election 2 years ago, was asked what he thought about Hillary Rodham Clinton. Said, do you think she'd make a good president? He said, absolutely. Senator Clinton would make a great president. They went to China together. Now, isn't that cozy? They flew on the chartered aircraft together. And it came out in Time magazine. It was like a big joke. Ha, ha, ha. While they were on the plane, they started drinking Scotch whiskey, both of them sitting side by side, Hillary and John McCain. And finally, Hillary said, let's have a chug-a-lug contest. See how much we can drink to outdrink the other. John says she won. Hillary won. She chugged a lug more Scotch whiskey than he did. He's qualified to be president. Now, some people say, but Tex, he's a military man. He understands military things. This is the war on terror. He'll help us. He understands military things. Let me clue you in a little bit. A naval pilot doesn't understand military things. Okay? An airplane is like a big bus with wings on it. I mean, it's a little bit more glorified than driving a Greyhound bus. You don't become the manager of the largest country in the world by driving an airplane, especially an airplane that, by the way, that the man actually crashed one time. Was he drunk? They say he was a big drunkard back in his Navy pilot days. He crashed trying to land. And many people died, and they covered it up. Why? Because his father was an admiral. This man has never done a day's work in his life in the private sector. His father was a big admiral. That's how he got into a military academy. And he graduated near the bottom of his class. And then, of course, he married Cindy Hensley and had all the money to become a senator. President, my eye, this is an evil warmonger of a man. I didn't even get to the fact that he was over in London, England, given a luncheon at Spencer House, St. James Place by Lord Rothschild and Nathaniel Rothschild. You had to have $2,300 to go to the luncheon. That's some expensive food. Of course, all the money went to McCain's campaign. The Rothschilds are backing this man, and he went over to England and had a big campaign-raising affair sponsored by the Rothschilds. There's so much I could tell you about this man. Folks, listen. The fix is in. This is an evil man. Do not vote for him. That's my opinion. You decide. This is Tex Mars. Been a great pleasure being with you today, telling you the truth about one of the most evil men to have ever run for president, John McCain. So long, and may God richly bless you. Until next time.